So good morning, everyone, and just so thankful to God and to you. Here's some water, thank you, that I can be here at this time. I know Pastor Brian just prayed, but I just want to pray again just to ask the Lord to guide us and lead us. We began yesterday afternoon, actually, for some of you, with a short message, and then, of course, last night. I wasn't really planning on it, but it seems like the theme was faith. We talked about faith, and I think that this morning's message will pretty much be sort of a continuation of that, because usually, you know, when we meet together, you know, several sessions, somehow the Holy Spirit gives us a like a series of things. So Lord, we just pray that you will bless us this morning. We are extremely thankful for the opportunity to sit here and be under your sovereign protection. Lord, we are just, we're just having an expectation this morning, God, that you will speak to us through your word. What do we really know? I mean, we may have some knowledge in this world, we may have some information, we may have some facts, and we try to put it together, but it's really only you who can bring that new and fresh revelation. And we are dealing with the inspired word of God. You have no limitations. Your word has no limitations. We are limited people, but when we connect with the eternal word, you can give us some amazing thoughts. And we just pray, Lord, that you open your Bible today for us in a special way. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there are only two things that are eternal. It's the Word of God, and it's also our souls. So really, our task this morning, if you will, is to connect our eternal souls with the eternal Word of God. And that is the only investment that is worthy, so to speak. You know, people invest in things, you know, financially and materialistically speaking and what have you. But really, the only thing that will last is the Word of God. And we have eternal souls and we want to connect it to. So, have you ever thought about this thing that, you know, we have missed opportunities in life? You know, I mean, we have maybe had an opportunity at some point and we missed it because we don't see it. We look at the impossible to please God. It doesn't say that it's extremely difficult. It is impossible. And I'm thinking about these things this morning, that, you know, God wants to do something great in our lives. We are not here just waiting for heaven. You know, God wants to use us. And the title of my message this morning is Daily Opportunities Through Faith. Daily Opportunities Through Faith. And I'd like for you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Sorry, 5, Ephesians chapter 5, and only two verses here, and then we're going to read some passages, but this will be our anchor text. So Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Verse 16, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Now, I see three things here in these two verses. Number one, we are to walk circumspectly. And, you know, this is an adverb, and the Greek word is akribos. And actually, this is where we get the English word an acrobat, you know, a person who is flying through the air. I don't know if you've been to a circus at any point of time. You know, these people, they are trained to do these things, and we watch them, and we are afraid, you know, that they will fall or whatever. But that's where that word comes from. But akribos, you know, it means to be careful. You know, I mean, it's like we are in this life. We are in the middle of a, you know, spiritual war, and we need to be careful. We need to walk circumspectly. But then we see another thing here. That's the first thing. The second thing is that we are to decide wisely. So walk circumspectly and decide wisely. And that's an adjective here, and it's sophos in the Greek. And it means to have wisdom in a practical sense, so that when we are facing a particular any particular situation, that we know how to act in faith in those circumstances. So we walk circumspectly, we decide wisely, and then there is a third thing here, and that is that we are to redeem the time, which means to be alert to opportunities, to be alert to opportunities. And, you know, this is not just like, you know, winning the lottery or being promoted at work, or, you know, something that people are normally thinking about, you know, when they have an expectation, you know, today is going to happen. You know, I used to work with one guy, and every Friday, you know, because, in Sweden, you don't work on Saturdays and Sundays, but, you know, every Friday afternoon, you know, he was always thinking that he would win the lottery. and then it's like, you know, so he kind of said, we probably don't see each other on Monday, meaning he doesn't have to return to work, you know, because if he wins the lottery. And I don't know how it works. Maybe it was something on TV on Friday night, I mean, you know, like whatever. But that was his expectation. Every Friday he said, you know, it's going to happen. But this is way beyond that. And the word for time here in the Greek is actually kairos. And kairos is different from another Greek word, which is chronos. Chronos means actually, this is where we get the English word that something is in a chronological order. So it's just basically looking at your watch and seeing, you know, hour after hour passing by. But kairos is different. It has a different meaning. And it actually means an appointed time which brings an opportunity. So it's not just, you know, the clock moving forward, if you will. It is an appointed time that brings an opportunity. So we have three things here in these two verses. Walk circumspectly, decide wisely, and redeem the time. And I'm thinking about this thing that in the Bible, we have numerous opportunities, or not opportunities, but examples of people that have really taken advantage of these things. And I'd like for you to turn to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And let's begin in verse 30 and read actually all the way to 44. It's the story about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, but what they had done, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitudes saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish." Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves, and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples, and set before them the 2 fish, and he divided them among them all, so they all ate and were filled. I'm stopping here because I think I'm in the wrong gospel, but and they looked up, they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten loaves were about 5,000 men. Now for some reason I read from Mark, but I was supposed to read, I believe, from John. And the reason why is that I wanted to talk about the little boy, you know, who had, I don't think it's mentioned here, was it? No, I don't think it was, right? No. Okay. So anyhow, I'm not going to go back and read it from John, but there's a parallel passage in John, because this particular miracle is mentioned in all 4 of the Gospels. I don't know if there are any other miracles that are, but this one is. And in John, I believe it is, but somehow I read Mark here, right from Mark, it says that it was a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And, you know, it's pretty interesting to think about this thing, because Jesus said that they needed maybe 200 denarii to buy this much food in order to feed this crowd. And 1 denarii was basically what a person made if they worked 1 full day. So, I mean, this was, you know, considering maybe some holidays and so on, it was almost like what 1 person would make in a whole year. That's how much money they needed to go and buy this food. But here was this boy that is mentioned in John, but not in Mark, that I read. He wanted to go and hear Jesus, you know. And can you imagine the home in the morning? You know, his mother is giving him a little backpack, you know, to go, and she packs, you know, a few things in there, you know, for him to have a lunch, you know. And he goes there, and they have heard about Jesus. You know, he's this amazing man. You know, he's healing people, and he's preaching the good news, and he's different from our leaders, you know, because he's gracious, you know, and many people's lives have been touched by him. This is amazing. Now you go and listen to him, and here's your lunch, you know. Just go in peace. And the guy goes, and he has an expectation, you know. He goes by faith, you know. This is like his mission, if you will. You know, the family is sending him out, you know, and he has a little lunch there, and he will be gone all day, and he doesn't really know what is going to happen. And he's going to be there among thousands of people. probably a relatively small guy, and you can imagine what's going on in his heart, but there is an expectation, and here he is, and there is a need, and the Lord is saying, do we have any food? Of course, he knew everything, but he wanted to test the faith of the disciples, and they said, well, not really, and then they said, well, we know about a little boy over here, he has a few things. Well, Jesus said, why don't you go and ask him if you can have that food? And can you imagine, 12 big men coming up to this boy saying that, give me your lunch, And it's like, it must have been a very scary experience. But here he was. And think about it, he could have said, well, that's my lunch, I'm not going to share it with anyone, this is going to be my lunch, and I'm going to sit down in a moment here and eat that, you have to solve this problem some other way. But he was available, he was available with what he had. So he gave them the 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And we know the story. Jesus prayed over it. It multiplied, and they started to pass it out, and they all ate all they needed, all they wanted, and they were full, they were happy, they were satisfied, and yet there were several baskets full of leftovers, a miracle. God doesn't do just enough. He does above and beyond what we can ask and think, right? And I love this story, So can you imagine this boy coming back home in the evening to the family? I said, what happened? How was your lunch? Was it good? He said, well, something really strange happened. Some men came up to me and said, we want your lunch, and I knew somehow there was that feeling inside of me that this was the right thing to do, because they said that this man called Jesus needed it, so I gave it to them. And something even more strange happened, he prayed over it, and all of a sudden there was all this food there, and they passed it out, and we all, do you have a fever? Are you okay? What are you talking about here? What's going on? Are you serious? Are you lying to us, boy? What's going on? We can just imagine. He said, no, I'm totally serious. He performed a miracle right in front of my eyes, our eyes. And, can you imagine walking away in the morning with this kind of expectation that whatever I have in my little backpack, 5 barley loaves, 2 fish, whatever it is, God can use it. God will use it. And God did use it, and it was totally a miracle. In Ephesians 2:10, it says that we are created to be His workmanship, it's like we are created for these good deeds. They don't save us, they don't do anything, they don't add anything to what Christ has done for us, but we are created and prepared for these type of events, but we will not see them. We cannot see them unless we exercise faith, unless we have an expectation that God can take whatever we have, figuratively speaking, in our backpack when we leave home in the morning. And I'm just thinking about how a bored Christian is really a bad testimony, but an excited Christian is a great testimony. And oftentimes we really don't know or understand what God can and wants to do in our lives, so we leave in the morning without an expectation. And I'm not saying this to condemn ourselves, but I think that we have missed many opportunities because of that. But I'm also saying this because of, or rather, I am saying this because of the future that we have. We have so many opportunities to do these things. And the Bible is full of these examples. Turn with me to, I hope I'm in the right gospel this time, Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verses 18 to 24. No, 18 to 22, sorry. Here is the story when Jesus is meeting some of the disciples. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Those two words, "follow me," are very challenging, aren't they? They're exciting. I mean, here are these guys, you know, they were experienced fishermen, and every day, every morning, this is what they did for a living. You know, they went out there to the sea or the lake, and they were doing some fishing. And I mean, Peter, that morning when he woke up, did he know that he was going to hear those two words, "follow me"? I don't know, but apparently he had an expectation. He was a Jew. He knew the scriptures. He had grown up, you know, in this type of environment, you know, where he knew that one day there will be a Messiah, a Savior that will come and save the nation. It's going to happen sooner or later. We know it. But can you imagine that morning when he went out to do his daily duties, so to speak, that a few years later, he was going to preach to 3,000 people in Jerusalem and be the leader, the spokesman for all the disciples. And many times, you know, we don't feel qualified. Maybe we are, but we don't feel that way. You know, it's like, I'm a fisherman, you know, I'm going out to do my daily work. But God says, "I got something more for you today. I'm going to tell you these two words, follow me." And I mean, in a sense, this is speaking about us on a daily basis, isn't it? I mean, we have our things that we do, and there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe God wants us to continue with that. But he just brought another dimension into his life here. And we know that whenever God speaks to us and he says, "follow me," he also will qualify us. And you know this story about Greater Grace in India, and you could tell me that story. I know the story, how it happened where I come from. You know, Pastor Schaller came to Finland in 1975. He was 23 years old. He really didn't know what to expect, you know. It was a different country. Everything was different. And he came, but he had an expectation. You know, he had gone to Bible school. He had been listening to the Word of God for 3 years. He had been learning about the promises of God and the faithfulness of God, and faith expectations were built up in his heart, you know, and he went and he started to share, you know, simple words with the people. And keep in mind that back in those days, I think Finland was considered to be 98% Protestant Christian, you know, Lutheran. You know, it's like people said, "What are you doing here?" "I'm telling people about Christ." "What do you mean?" It's like, "We're all Christians," you know, because on paper, you know, that's the religion. But he came and he went there, and he was alert to an opportunity. And you know yourselves that you know, Finnish missionaries have gone all over the world since then, and some of them came to Sweden also and began the work that we are now enjoying there. So we mentioned last night Peter, John, and James, the three disciples out of the 12 that followed Jesus, that were allowed to come with him up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And we said that it wasn't so that, you know, God has his favorites, but he has intimates. And what I mean by that is that God hasn't singled out certain people and said, I like them better than others, you know, so I'm going to let them have this and I'm not going to let them have it. But he's doing this thing because these people have a desire to follow. You know, those two words, follow me, are spoken every day in this world. When people go out in the morning, I don't care what country it is, I don't care where it is in the world, I don't care what circumstances, there is the Lord speaking those two words, follow me. He is looking for disciples. I'm not just talking about the gospel, you know, preaching salvation, but I'm talking about also following him. And Peter could have rationalized this whole thing and said, well, you know, this is just another day. Who are you telling me to follow you? I mean, it's like, I don't know, can I trust you? I mean, what is this thing? And he could have remained a fisherman. He could have remained in that place, but he responded and he saw the opportunity, and by faith, he started to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know the rest of the story. I mean, he was mightily used by God in spite of his weaknesses. So we have the boy with the five barley loaves and two fish. We have Peter getting up in the morning, going out to do his daily job or work, and seeing the Lord. And we could make many, many more examples. And I'm thinking about Zacchaeus. We could turn to Luke 19. Luke 19 and verses 1 to 10. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, and he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now here's a man who had a bad reputation, to say the least. Remember here it says that he was a chief tax collector. Not only a tax collector, but a chief tax collector. I mean, he was organizing the tax collectors, I guess. And they were working for the Roman government, you know, the oppressors. And they not only worked for them, but beyond what they were, the taxes that they took, you know, for the Roman government, they took a little extra or maybe a lot extra for themselves, and they became very rich, you know, and they were protected by the Romans and so on, so nobody could touch them. So they were hated, they were despised, and here's this man, and he was a short guy, He knew that Jesus was passing by, and he had heard about him, and he was not happy. He was not satisfied with his life, and he wanted to see something different. You know, he knew God has put eternity in our hearts, you know, and every man, every woman, we know that there is a God. We know that there is something beyond what we can see and hear and touch and so on. So here he was, and he climbed up into that tree, and he saw Jesus, and God touched his heart, you know, and Jesus spoke to him, and he came down, and his life was completely changed that day. And can you imagine the testimony? Here's this hated and despised man, and his life is now totally different. He's starting to give back to the people the things that he had stolen from them. You know, he was just a completely changed person. And I think it's so amazing. We could go on and on thinking about Mary and Martha, you know, what they did. We can think about the lame man and his friends, you know, who was on that bed, and they made a hole in the house. Or in the roof rather, and lowered that bed down so that Jesus could touch them. I mean, we could go on and on. The Bible is full of these little examples of people who didn't have much, but God gave them an opportunity to respond in faith. And when they did so, God completely transformed their lives. And this is our own testimony. Last summer in Sweden, there were a missionary couple that came, and they were from another ministry, but I had heard about them, and we connected, and I met them in my hometown, and we drove around a little bit, and I was going to show them around, you know, some nice sites there, and there's a lake right next to my hometown, and it's 132 square kilometers. I don't know if you can figure out how big that lake is, but it's a big lake. It has over 300 islands in it and everything, and in the middle of it there is a huge island, and from one area, from one direction, you have to take a ferry, and from the other their direction, there's a bridge. But anyhow, my father was born on that island, by the way. So I wanted to show them the island. It's very beautiful. So we went out there. But before we did, we stopped in one place, you know, and it's a big, big building. And there was a man on a lawnmower. He was cutting the grass there, and he was moving on. And it was early in the morning, a beautiful summer day. And I had them in the car, you know, and we stopped there, and we started to talk to this man. And at first, you know, he was, you know, a little bit hesitant, if you will. But we befriended him, and we talked to him and all that. And then he started to say that, you know, I have a museum. Would you like to see the museum? It's not open, but I can bring you there and open it for you. And he had all kinds of old things in there, old radios and records, and even old boats, and I mean all kinds of things. And then we were there, you know, and all of a sudden, we just started to share the gospel with him, and it was just, you know, I don't know, for maybe an hour or so. And he was so ready. He was so prepared. It was amazing. And I was just thinking, you know, how we left that morning with an expectation. And we saw that man mowing the lawn. And, you know, we could have passed by there and not taken the opportunity. But God opened the door, and we started to talk to him, and he heard the gospel that day, and he was extremely open. And, you know, I'm just thinking about opportunities. I have a brother, he's like older than me, and he just retired. And, you know, he goes to nursing homes because we have some relatives or people that we know that are in nursing homes. But he's also taking the opportunity when he's there to talk to other people, you know, people that maybe don't have so many visitors or no visitors at all. And he's ministering to them, you know, and he's sharing the good news with different people, and they're very happy. It's like a ministry, you know, and I'm thinking about my brother. He has a hearing problem, you know. He doesn't hear so well, and it has limited him very much in his life in many ways. And he worked in a factory for 44 years, and then he retired, you know. That's an amazing faithfulness, you know, but now it's like God is using him in that capacity. There are opportunities there to minister to the old people. So I'm just saying all these things to say that we are told by the Lord to walk circumspectly. This is where we begin. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So we are careful, you know, we walk carefully. We realize that there is a spiritual war that we are engaged in, and we are careful. But we are wise, you know, we have wisdom from above, not just the wisdom that this world can offer us, but wisdom from above. And we apply that in all these situations. But also, we walk in a way where we are redeeming the time. It's not just, you know, letting a day pass by, but there is an expectation there. There is an appointed time. We know that it brings an opportunity. And we can think about all these biblical examples. We can think about examples in our own lives. And it is absolutely amazing, you know, what God can do. And can we identify with any of these things? I mean, you think about the boy. Well, he's only a child. Can God use a child? Yes, obviously. He had the little pieces of bread and fish in his backpack, and God performed a miracle. And then you think about Peter. Well, he was only a fisherman, you know. He had no education, he had no status in this life. Can God use such a person? Of course he can, and he did. He responded to the two words, follow me, and he changed his life forever. And then, of course, we mentioned briefly Mary and Martha. We didn't go into it, but, you know, back in those days and today also, and, you know, it's like women may not have the same opportunities as men in many cases, you know, but God used them in an amazing way. You know, he can use a child, he can use an unskilled person, he can use a woman, he can use anyone. And here was the lame man, you know, that was on that stretcher that they lowered. You know, I mean, think about the reputation these men were thinking, like, you know, can we really do this thing? I mean, you know, can we really make a hole in the roof? You know, it's going to be expensive. We're going to have to pay for that eventually, you know. But they had an expectation, and that man got saved and he got healed, you know, because they had an expectation that they wanted him to see Jesus. And then we had Zacchaeus, you know, and he was completely despised by the society, and yet God used him. So we could make the list much, much longer. But this is our God, and I think it's amazing how God is using us in so many ways. And I'm thinking about my brother there, and I'm thinking about that man that we met that morning. We just happened to drive by when he was cutting the grass. And you know, we are responsible for telling people, but God is responsible for the response. You know, but if we think about these three words, you know, akribos, we walk carefully, sophios, we walk wisely, and kairos, we walk expectantly, meaning that we believe that every moment brings an opportunity for us if we have faith. And how do we get faith? By hearing the word of God being preached, Romans 10:17. And when I'm equipped and when I have that faith and I have an expectation from God, things will happen. And things have happened in this country, and things have happened in this city, things have happened in this body. The first time I came here, there was no church. The second time I came, there was a church, but it was empty. The third time I'm here, there is a church and it's full of people. And I love it, you know. It's like each life, you know, is precious. You know, you have a very special, you have, figuratively speaking, a backpack with you every day with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And do we have an expectation that God can use it? If we have, He will. And, you know, there could be many, many churches like this. There could be many, many works of God planted because of that. And we never know how God will use us and when God will use us. But keep those, or have an expectation to hear those two words, follow me. Amen. Lord, we thank you this morning for these thoughts. We pray that you will bless them to our hearts in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.